workers' agenda for a city, a county, a state? And who are the forces that need to be brought together to build the sort of united front that could win office, that could win power? How do you bring together very diverse groups that may frequently have conflicts but have a strategic interest in unity? What do you do? And it was in that context that we started talking about the idea of working people's assemblies. That is literally a process to engage working people, not just the leaders of the organizations, but the members of working people's organizations, in a discussion about what's our vision. You know, what is a working people's vision of Portland, of Oregon itself? What would it mean if a slate of elected representatives who came out of the working class won office in Portland? What would be different? That's what we were trying to get at. That's what's so important. And I think, frankly, exciting. Because it's not just about let's support some candidate that comes to us. It's more about articulating an agenda. What is it? What is the working people's agenda on housing, on jobs, you know, on law enforcement, on trade? What is the working people's agenda on those things? And that's what we need to be fighting for, and that's what we need to be taking to people that want our vote. Where do you stand on this? And that's different than the legislative platforms of many unions that many of the members never see, might not even know that they exist. What you and I were talking about was the idea of engaging the rank and file, whether in unions or community-based organizations, in a discussion. What is it that we're fighting for? What are we prepared to throw down on?
This is some really exciting stuff, and I know that we've been examining examples of these kinds of activities around the United States. And I'm going to invite you to come back and have more discussion about this specifically, because, quite frankly, that's the theme of our show. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you.
I'd love to come back.
I want to thank you for spending the time with us tonight. And And welcome to Portland.
Well, listen, thank you very much. I thought you were inviting me to come back to Portland, but I'll accept coming back onto the program. So thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, take care.
Thank you for coming onto our show tonight. You have been listening to KBOO Portland, labor radio of, by, and for the working class.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Tune in to Cable, Friday, September 18th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for our 12-hour News and Public Affairs Day of special programming. In our lifetimes, working to end white supremacy and racial oppression, we'll be playing audio from the Building Resistance panel discussion recorded at the screening of the film Arresting Power and from the book release event of Octavius Brute. We'll hear Randy Blazak and Carlos Covarrubias. We'll also hear a speech by Cornel West given at the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly, and a never-before-broadcast talk by the late Manning Marable, How Capitalism Underdeveloped Black America. That's in our lifetimes, working to end white supremacy and racial oppression, a day of special programming Friday, September 18th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
You know the truth and right. the children, 'cause they should know.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. I'm Amy Johnson, and I'm joined by Emma Lugo. Tonight, we'll be speaking with radical human rights attorney Lynn Stewart. KBOO is a listener-supported, volunteer-produced, independent radio station, and that's why we're able to bring you diverse and radical voices like Lynn Stewart. We're in our fall membership drive right now, so we ask you to pledge your support to KBOO by dialing 877-500-5266 or making a secure online pledge at kboo.fm. Lynn Stewart is an activist, defense lawyer, breast cancer survivor, and a former political prisoner. She's courageously stood up for the rights of revolutionaries, people of color, the poor, marginalized, and dispossessed for over 40 years.
Lynn, are you on?
Looks like we're just waiting to get Lynn connected tonight. So we're really excited to have Lynn on the show tonight. You may know that she had been serving a sentence that was expected to be 10 years and was released in January at the very beginning of
2013, I'm pretty sure.
So she's getting pretty close.
2014, to... January 2014. So Hi, this is Emma Lugo.
And I'm Amy Johnson.
And I'm so sorry we have lost our connection with Lynn, but she will be right back on the phone in just a minute. This is Community Radio, and we are so grateful to have you listening to Prison Pipeline. Prison Pipeline is a show which offers a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening and understanding the institution of incarceration. Hi, Lynn, are you there?
Hi, I am indeed.
Oh, hooray. Thank you so much. This is Emma Lugo.
Hi, welcome. I'm Amy.
Thank you.
How are you all? You
good? Thank you so much. We're so excited to have you on Prison Pipeline and also here on KBOO Community Radio. And just for full disclosure, Lynn, I think I mentioned this in my email, but we are in the middle of our pledge drive. So at the end of the show, we are going to be pitching for KBOO, but we'd love to have you stay on. Welcome. Thank you so much for calling us. I know it's really late for you out there on the East Coast.
Yes, especially since I've come ill, I go to bed early, but I'm happy to stay up to be on KBOO. I have fond memories of appearing with other folks on KBOO in the past, so it's a nice sort of reunion for me.
Oh, great. Well, you know, a lot of people have been wondering, one of the first questions we wanted to ask you was about your health. How are you doing?
I'm actually doing well. My doctors are very happy. You know, cancer is a funny thing, but and I had the full treatment. You know, I've had chemo, I've had radiation, I've had all those things. And but lately I'm on a pill that is a form of chemotherapy, and apparently the results seem to show that I'm now holding my own. That is, the cancer is not advancing, it's not receding either, it's still there, but it's not getting worse. And I'm feeling very, very good and somewhat energized. I don't have my old pep or my old stamina, but I'm feeling very good. So
you certainly sound pretty good.
Yes, as I say, it's a funny thing with cancer. If you're holding your own, it's a victory. in their term. So I'm happy to say we're having a victory.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're having a victory, and I'm sure everyone else who's listening is. And one thing I wanted to say that, just to you personally, I'm so impressed by your website and everything that you do. LynnStewart.org is the website you can go to stay up to date with the work that Lynn's doing, which is spelled LynnStewart.org. And nothing on there is really... some of it's about you, but a lot of it's about other cases and people that we really should be supporting. And I know that you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about an initiative of the National Lawyers Guild that's going to be starting in October, this initiative to guarantee that every political prisoner will have a lawyer. Could you tell us a bit about that and other work that you're doing right now and things that folks should support?
Right. Well, surely it's very obvious from my website and everything else that I'm giving this time that was so given to me by all the many people whom I want to thank for supporting me and supporting my release upon compassionate release, because it was the 70,000 people who signed the petition that gave the impetus that brought me home. I have no doubt about that. But I have spent much of my time, when I wasn't just trying to adjust and not get used to it, because it's not, you really don't have to get used to it. It's so nice to be home. But I am dedicating my time to political prisoners because there is such a dire need, as demonstrated most recently by our very dear Mumia, who was suddenly brought short by a diabetic incident in which his blood sugar escalated and left him close to dying. They got that under control, but he still has an undiagnosed condition of his skin, and he is suffering from hepatitis C. I'm happy to say Mumia has wonderful lawyers from the Abolitionist Law Center in Philadelphia, and they have filed a federal lawsuit on his behalf and also on behalf of all prisoners in Pennsylvania to get people proper medical care, and particularly care for hepatitis C, for which there is now a simple pill, but albeit a very expensive one. And therein, of course, lies the problem. Prisons are not spending money on prisoner care. But you asked me about this initiative, and at the risk of just going on too long, I will say to you that this was an idea that was thought of by two political prisoners, both of whom were released, one of whom was murdered in Puerto Rico, that would be Filiberto, and the other, Ray Lavasser, who had advanced this idea that everyone who has been designated a political prisoner by all, and people always say, well, what is a political prisoner? We know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
we know.
It is so very important that everyone have access to legal representation. And I don't mean, oh, yeah, you could call the guild. We want to assure, and this is the proposal we have put to the guild, and which has been tentatively approved, but not yet by the entire body, that everybody be given a lawyer or a legal assistant or someone that is completely concentrated on their needs and their case and their protection. Because we all know that political prisoners are treated differently, and that the need for protection, just the need to be able to say to a guard who has suddenly become a rogue and is dealing with you in a very cruel way, to be able to say, if you keep this up, I'm going to call my lawyer, is very, very, very important. I feel very strongly about it, especially seeing what has happened with Hugo Pinnell recently in the California system, and just know that this is an initiative, especially as our prisoners, our brothers and our sisters grow older, that is so necessary. So we are going to the Guild. We're going to have a table where we sign people up, and they tell us what kind of time they have and what they think they can do, and where we present the idea to the entire Guild and hope to get a vote of confidence.
Well, good luck.
And that is what is planned. So I have been talking it up, and as I say, Ray Lavasser, who is one of the famed Ohio 7, the United Freedom Front, is the proponent of this, which is now being carried forward by what I have called a blue ribbon group of political prisoners and workers in the prison movement from Jericho, from the anarchist Black Cross, all of whom have been, done such great work for prisoners and who are now joining us in this endeavor.
Lynn, that is wonderful. That is just wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to get into this kind of work in the first place? Maybe talk about how you got drawn into this work as a defense attorney.
You have a couple of hours?
We have about 12 minutes.
Sorry. My epiphany came as a young woman of 22 when I got a job as a school librarian in the heart of Harlem. I had grown up in Queens, New York, not 5 miles from Harlem, but had grown up not even knowing that there was such a thing as a Harlem. I grew up in an all-white working-class suburb of Queens, and, you know, Harlem was just a non-entity. It never occurred to me that there was a group of people who were basically held in a situation, not of their own choosing, but were really unable to leave from that situation. And because they were caught up in it, it amazed me at first. And then as a teacher, interacting with the community and with the children, I started looking for answers. Why was this? Why Harlem? I was all of 22 years old, and I must say that the answers that were supplied to me by the school authorities, and indeed in some ways by political authorities, just did not satisfy me. And so I started reading. Always a dangerous thing, my dear. Always a dangerous thing. And I rapidly came to my own conclusions about why there was a Harlem and what was being done to do something about it. And that was the beginning of my awareness and of my dedication of a lifetime to being a voice in the wilderness sometimes, but a voice nonetheless that spoke out against injustice, against prejudice, against all of the ills that I found there that I hadn't even known existed. Also, as I was this young librarian in Harlem, into my library strode one afternoon a handsome young man who I have been together with for the last 50 or 60 years almost.
Congratulations.
That is Ralph Pointer.
50 years?
Husband,
oh, my goodness.
Who is probably responsible for bringing me home. He was out there during hot August days in front of the White House in 2013,
mm-hmm.
and never quit, never gave up. Volunteered his time, his energy, and everything else to getting me out of jail, to getting me home.
Thank you. I remember hearing him on KBOO when you were in prison. I remember hearing him.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And we are still together, and we are both pursuing this initiative, and both he has a blog radio show, which is on Tuesday nights. And we're called What's Happening, and we proceed with that.
Lynn, where can we find that? Where can we find that show?
It's on. All I know. I can give you a phone number that you can call in and get it on, maybe. But
I'll tell you what, we'll follow up. We'll follow up with that. I'll get the info from you. We'll post it.
It's on. I'm trying to think of what the network or whatever it is called.
It's okay. We'll follow up with it. I'll get it onto the Prison Pipeline page later.
Okay. When I got out of jail, my daughter handed me a rectangular little box with flashing lights on it. And I said, "What is this?" And she said, "That's a phone, Mom." When I went into jail, there were little things that had flip tops and were not quite so elegant or so useful, I might add. But at any rate, so I'm still a little bit of a Luddite where all the computer stuff is concerned.
Yeah.
But it certainly is a wonderful way of communicating, and I'm very grateful for it.
Yes.
But don't ask me to get a phone number off my phone to give you when I'm talking on the phone. You see that?
Yeah, I can't even do that. So I think that they just make that hard for you.
Yeah.
I had another question for you, Lynn. We were wondering if you would describe a little bit about your experience in prison and what your personal experience was in prison.
Well, there's an old poster, of course, that says war is not a healthy thing for living beings. And I can just say to you that prison is not a healthy place for any living being. It is not the obvious things that people will see on TV shows and et cetera. It is just being subjected to such arbitrary authority at all times that you never, never know what the rule is going to be the next day. You're never sure how it will be enforced. You're never certain of which way to go to avoid a rule. And I can only say that the insensitivity, that's too big and too good a word, the callousness of the staff is really overwhelming at times. I mean, I have seen at least two or three deaths that could have been avoided. I have seen women suffering from terrible illness, which nobody really seems to want to do anything about. And it is a very hard place to be, because you are basically helpless in the face of this arbitrary authority and this cruelty. And, one of the women told me a funny story, which I'll repeat to give your listening audience some idea of how absolutely frustrating it can be. She said that she had noticed that when visitors came, it took them a very long time to get them into the prison for the visit. They had to find their papers in a box and then match the person up with the papers and then process them through. So she suggested to the guard, "We can put those papers in alphabetical order and it will speed up your process." And the guard looked at her and said, "But people don't arrive in alphabetical order."
Oh my gosh.
It is such a stunning story. There is no answer to it. She had no comeback to that. I mean, it was just, but it's part of what makes prison life so very, very frustrating. And, and also heartrending. The stories of my colleagues, I have to call them my fellow prisoners, my sisters behind bars, what they suffered, the misery of not having a lawyer who even told them the truth half the time. And I am very cognizant that prisoners sometimes stretch things, that they bend things, that they may even lie to make themselves look better. But I heard it too consistently, the really miserable representation that people receive in the criminal justice system. And that is one of the other reasons behind our initiative, is to somehow bring that up and make the legal profession as aware of it as is the people behind bars. So,
well, Lynn, we have about 2 minutes left before we have to go to our pledge drive.
Okay. Well, I hope you raise a lot of money and people give, because this is obviously a very worthwhile program. And I know that there is an event coming up, I think maybe sometime in early November or late October in Portland, because I heard about it from my old friend Kent Ford, an ex-Panther whose son is a political prisoner and one of the people we hope to help.
Kent, oh, wow, that's great. Okay, well, we're going to find out what that is and we will publicize that.
Please do. Please do.
Yeah, we will find out about that. So, Lynn, I just want to thank you so much for being on Prison Pipeline. You know, community radio is such a valuable resource, and KBOO is really a gem here in the Pacific Northwest. You know, through programs like Prison Pipeline and through a radio station like KBOO, we're able to bring you, bring voices to the community that the community really needs to hear. This is a real, you know, this is real news. This is something that you really need to hear and something that you need to be educated about. So, Lynn, I just want to thank you so much for being with us on KBOO. And can you tell people where we can find out more about your legal initiative?
Sure. I will be at the ABC convention at the Anarchist Black Cross in Denver, and I will be at the Guild convention, which is going to be held in Oakland this year, and that's in October 24th, 25th, etc. The initiative is really not public yet. We're sort of just sending out little floaters like I did tonight to just let people be aware and know that this is happening. But, you know, you can, of course, as you mentioned, you can get on to me by going to my website, which is lynnstewart.org, or Justice for Lynn Stewart, which is the other web address. And I'm not even sure we've posted anything yet. We're trying to hold off a little bit until we get more of a feel for what's going on.
Yeah, thank you for that. And everybody surf on over to Lynn's website so you can follow her. Thank you for being with us tonight. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. You can listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. And you can like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank Lynn Stewart for being with us and our engineer, Danielle.
Lynn, if you could just stay on for just a minute. Thank you.
And so KBOO is, as we've said, your community radio station, and we're able to bring you the voice of Lynn Stewart, the voice of so many others, the voice of local activists, as you heard earlier in the hour. And that's because we are not supported by any grants from corporations. We're not supported by the government. We are supported by the listeners like you. So I urge you to pick up your phone and type into it right now, 877-500-5266, and call and pledge your support to KBOO. You can also do that online at kboo.fm and just click on the tip jar in the top of the corner. I believe Ani is got something else to add about how important it is to support KBOO right now. Right now is the time.
Right now is, in fact, the time. It is so important that you're supporting KBOO, your very own community radio station. I'm here with Larry. It is our fall membership drive, and we are saying this is your moment to connect with KBOO and to strengthen your community. This is Prison Pipeline. I think, you know, all of our public affairs programs are important. I'm a public affairs host myself. I know that my show is important to the community. But Prison Pipeline really, to me, epitomizes the extension of the voice to the voiceless. This is a program that is dedicated to listening to prisoner issues, to giving a platform to prisoner issues and support for their families. This nation is, as Larry and I were talking a little bit ago, you know, this nation has the highest incarceration rate. And, you know, prisoners are demonized in our society. And the mass incarceration system disproportionately disproportionately affects black and brown people. And that is part of the racist infrastructure that keeps this country, well, in the status quo it's in. You, my friend, you're listening right now. You want to change this system. I know you do. That's why you're listening. You're concerned. And that's why right now you're picking up your phone and dialing 877-500-5266 to support this program. And public affairs on KABU in general. We are your community radio station. You heard this interview with Lynn Stewart talking about the important case. I mean, her case is phenomenal. We interviewed her on KABU several times before she was incarcerated. We're happy to see her release. She was mentioning the case that is here in town. Kent Ford, a longtime activist in the black community, his son was accused of being a member in a terrorist group. His son, Patrice Lumumba Ford, has been in prison for years now. He was snagged in this thing right after 9/11 on some charges that he was planning to travel to Afghanistan to aid the Taliban. You know, he pleaded guilty to avoid a possible life sentence, and he is looking at serving 18 years. He's been in jail for a long time, so there is still action to support Patrice Lumumba Ford. You hear about these things on KABU. We are part of this education system fighting mass incarceration. Call us now, 877-500-5266. Your support of $10 a month or $15 a month is really what we need right now. You know you need KABU. We are that hub of social change and that exchange of information. So this is your time to complete the circle by stepping to the phone and calling 877-500-5266. Pledge in the name of someone you love who's incarcerated. Give a gift membership. Whatever you can do to support KABU, this is your moment to do it. 877-500-5266 or online at KBO. O.FM.
KABU Community Radio is proud to present Who is Gil Scott-Heron as part of the We Real Cool Jazz Series at the Clinton Street Theater Thursday, September 7th.